Bill Goggins.
Here.
Laura Hine.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. Before we get started, I want to make sure, did we note that Bill arrived just, okay, good, yeah. So our agenda for this meeting will be appointment of a new Houghton Community Council member, reading and approval of minutes from four of our meetings, past meetings, and then council member reports and comments. Work program review, requests from the audience, that will be on any topics other than the Kirkland Children's School. We won't be hearing anything on that because the hearing is closed on that. And then we will deliberate on our recommendation for the Kirkland Children's School, and then we'll take a look at upcoming comp plan amendments, and finally the levy for the city street maintenance and pedestrian safety. With that, I am very pleased to announce that we have unanimously decided to appoint Brian Gothrop to the open position on the Kirkland, or I mean the Houghton Community Council. And you have to be officially sworn in, Brian, so you're not able to actually come up and take a position with us tonight, but we look forward to having you up here with us at our next meeting. Congratulations.
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 It's great that you are here so we could just all give it to you in person.
Yeah. Brand new babies and all.
So with that, let's get into the reading and approval of minutes. Could we dispense with the reading of the minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Let's start with the June 25th minutes. Anybody have any corrections? Someone care to move for approval of those minutes?
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. How about the July 14th minutes? Any additions or corrections? No additions or corrections? Okay. I would welcome a motion to approve.
To approve July 14th, 2012.
Minutes. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Minutes are approved. September 24th, that was our interview session. Any additions or corrections?
Move to approve.
Move for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, those minutes are approved. September 24th, 7 o'clock meeting. Additions or corrections?
Wait a minute. I wrote something here, but I guess you know what I wrote.
I think Anna Rising is spelled without an E, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, maybe we could check the spelling on Anna Rising's.
I could be mistaken, but that's what my recollection is that I've seen it.
Actually, I can confirm that that's correct because her mother is my next door neighbor and her mother's name is spelled R-I-S-I-N-G. So that's definite. Rising is R-I-S-I-N-G. Any other additions or corrections?
Yeah, I have a question. Underneath.
Sure to speak up. You're not going to be.
Underneath B on the back side. Yes.
Okay.
Eight.
Where it says motion to revisit Houghton Evers Neighborhood Center once there's been an opportunity for more process as outlined in the comprehensive plan. Laura, didn't you say something to the effect that we shouldn't make our zoning things until.
I just said it should be deferred until the.
Yeah, zoning should be deferred and we shouldn't be trying to do that.
We needed to be honoring the Central Houghton plan by waiting until the Everest neighborhood was able to do whatever process they needed
before
to do.
We get any
yes.
Zoning.
There's no mention of zoning in here at all.
It
well, there shouldn't be. There what we weren't even no. beginning to talk about zoning. We were. I mean, the zoning. Are you saying that you want to make a reference to zoning?
Yeah, but the reason we decided not to do it, they were asking us to go forward with zoning.
Zoning would have followed the approval. I mean, they were trying.
The motions was already but done. They're part of it, and so.
No, well, not at all. No, absolutely was
looking,
not.
They were looking at comp plan amendments to the Everest. That they were looking at comp plan specifically. By December, so that they could look at zoning following that.
Yeah.
And we were saying we wanted to defer the comp plan changes until after the Everest So zoning can't happen until comp plan changes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
So are you okay with the way it, since you made the motion, are you okay with the way it reads? Okay. Other than the correction to the spelling of Anna Rising's name, any other additions, corrections to the September 24th minutes? 7 o'clock meeting?
I have an observation, the number 9.
Yes.
It seems like the first paragraph they were talking about Councilman Asher addressing the council. Shouldn't that be A and then the second one be B and then C? It's a separate item from A.
Oh, yeah. Should be.
Yes.
I guess, yeah. Maybe we can.
So item.
Make that A and go B, C.
Comprehensive plan amendments and then A and B are below that.
I'm open to whatever, however you want to structure it.
I'm saying make 9 A, B, and C, with A being Councilman Asher, B being 2012 comp plan, C being upcoming comprehensive plan.
There were 3 points of new business.
Right. 3 new business.
Yeah.
Got
it. I wasn't even at the meeting.
Yeah. I think the reason that it might read that way is that Councilman Asher was not specifically on the agenda, and I think the other ones were. That's probably why they wrote it the way it was. So if you want to change it, we can. I think it reads okay the way it is, frankly. But okay.
Bystander.
All right. So how about a motion? Let's get moving here, guys.
So moved.
Well, okay. So to clarify, the motion would be to approve the minutes as written with the correction of the spelling of Anna Rising's name. That's it. Other than that?
Moved as
okay.
Suggested.
That's seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Let's get on with council member reports and comments. John.
Have a small report in the coordination with the Bellevue Community Council regarding the upcoming legislative action. We are going to need to huddle up and make some decisions as to how to prepare some information to take forward to the committee in Olympia. Bellevue is moving forward with their information and will not be able to go to the next meeting, if not the next 2 meetings as an entity. Only one of their members will be able to go. So we will need to be, we're going to have to show up and carry the ball at the next couple of meetings.
What are the dates of those meetings?
It's the 25th. I think I'd know that off the top of my head. It is the 25th. Next week, Thursday the 25th. And right now, I can tell you some of these are a little bit of a moving target because of how they're structuring their agendas. So it might not be until later this week until the agendas are finalized. The next meeting is, I'm sorry, I'm not finding it here, but the I was also told that the meetings that were going to be 2 or 3 meetings have expanded, and they expect 6 to 8 or so meetings now because they're going to have lots of committees in the groups that have been identified, lots of the junior taxing districts come and discuss and present items to the committee. So it seems that this is becoming expanded, and as I'm getting information from the secretary that's assisting the committee, I'll get it back with you right now. It's up in the air right now. All I know is that the next meeting, the Bellevue group will not be able to attend in force, and we will need to.
Will we have an opportunity for test?
We have no idea yet.
Okay.
We have no idea yet.
And so how important is it for us to be there if we're not able to actually make any contact or make any presentation?
I think from a recognition standpoint, it's becoming more important that we're there.
So, well,
just to be seen, if not heard.
Okay. You're thinking that the people on the committee know who we are?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
So what, do you know what time the meeting on the 25th is? And
typically is it 9?
Yeah, typically 9 o'clock. They'll be done by 11 or so, depending on if it runs long. It's an hour and 45-minute trip down to Olympia, right. So it'd take all, you know, from the morning until maybe 1 o'clock.
Yeah. And the 25th is the only date that you know for certain at this point?
At this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Speak into the. You're not being heard when you.
Has anybody given you, or said given you any idea the last time the taxing committees met like this? It was over a 2-year-long process. Do you have any idea? Has anybody said, hey, these six, you know, there are going to be 6 meetings this month and 6 meetings next month, and meanwhile, Larry Springer is going to spring on us.
From the initial discussions, they wanted to go through this process quickly and be finished by spring of next year. And I'm also remembering right now that the one group that is on the agenda is the liquor taxing boards, I think, are going to talk on the 25th, and I imagine they're going to take up a majority of the time. So it's just a report right now. I hope to have information by the end of the week, and I will keep you posted.
So, John, you're essentially functioning as chair of this subcommittee.
I'm really trying to stay on top.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And so I guess you'll just communicate through our email system, mm-hmm. then? Is that okay? And as far as this position paper, is this something that we need to get?
I have blocked a few things out with the Bellevue group, sort of meeting with them. And they want to take a little bit different direction than some of the things that we've talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. So Steve Kazard mentioned to me that they're probably going to prepare their own. We should have our own. The two should parrot many of the same issues. I think they want to focus on a few issues that are a little different than ours because their particular area has such a high potential for development with multifamily housing, and we don't. It's one of the main issues. So their group and I've been meeting and we've been putting things together. Steve and I want to try and get things finished by this week. So when I get a draft out, I'll get it to everybody and get comments. Okay?
Yeah, thank you, John. Any other committee member reports, comments?
The only thing I can think of that maybe apropos is that I've attended a couple of the Everest Houghton, Central Houghton combined meetings, and the turnout has been remarkable, and people coming to more than one of those meetings as well. People didn't just show up at one and then figure that was it. So, and also it seems as if there are a lot of people that are just suddenly waking up to understanding the process about comp plans and changes and all the things that we thought we had informed our neighbors about really thoroughly, and somehow people still didn't find out about it. So it's good that people's eyes and ears seem to be opened and they're paying much closer attention to what's going on in the neighborhood. And I think we may also have been increasing the visibility of the Houghton Community Council a little bit, mm-hmm. with people kind of starting to get a better understanding of the fact that we exist, who we are, what we do, how we fit into the greater scheme of things. Because I think there's a lot of people who either just have been oblivious or they're new to the area and haven't known about us. And so that's starting to be a little more visible.
Right.
Well, I do have something.
Go ahead, Elsie. Speak up.
I do have my flyer down. It's very, but my legs have not been substantial, and I decided that I would wait until after elections, the election where old people are sick and tired of seeing flyers and all this other stuff.
So this is the welcome to the community,
yeah.
information about us that we talked about.
We heard,
yeah.
today. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that don't even. And it's just very simple. It's just, you know, what we are. But I just can't right now is still not a good time.
Sure. Well, don't, you know, you can
don't have to do it all
enlist
yourself.
Our help in this.
Yeah.
So.
Don't worry, I am.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Anything on the work program review, Nancy?
Just to note that tomorrow night the City Council will be looking at amending the Planning Department work program to remove the Houghton Everest Business District.
Right. Okay. John, you have some?
Is anyone planning on attending the City Council meeting tomorrow?
All indications are pretty strong. I don't see any. I don't think this is controversial. I think they're very committed to it.
I think the public has spoken.
Just to listen and report back on anything, and so.
If you want to do it,
Well, unfortunately, I have another
commitment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Nancy, for work program?
Nope.
Okay. Do you have an opportunity for the audience to speak to us on any topics other than the Kirkland Children's School? Anybody care to address us? Okay. Councilman Asher. No?
Just Dave Asher tonight.
Okay.
As an individual citizen.
All right.
Thank you.
Important. Citizen.
Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate the time that you provided last week for that other guy that looked like me to provide some information on Proposition 1. I would like to take the license as an individual citizen tonight to, in fact, ask for your endorsement because I think it's important. I think it would be important to the community. The other organizations that have endorsed have been the Kirkland Chamber of Commerce has endorsed Proposition 1, and they had a significant discussion similar to the one that you had with Proposition 2 about the ongoing nature of this. Proposition 1 is an ongoing levy also, and there's a purpose behind that. It takes, with the level of funding that's in there, there's not enough adequately to do the job. We're counting on some additional growth happening over the significant period, such as Park Place and such as Totem Lake, which will increase the revenues from that with the new construction. But it'll take 20 years for us to come up close to where the pavement condition on our roads is close to what I call the least cost curve. And you can pretty well calculate that. At the end of that 20 years, we're back starting again on what we were doing at the beginning of that. So this is an ongoing revenue source. It's a secure ongoing revenue source for an ongoing need that we will have for our streets for
eternity.
Perpetuity. there are additional grant resources become available when we have dedicated resource funding. That's one of the questions, and you get scored for that. Some additional organizations that have endorsed Proposition 1 for Kirkland, the Lake Washington School Board, Transportation Choices Coalition, and the Cascade Bicycle Club. And I'm available for any, if you have any questions on this topic, I'd be glad to at least give you my point of view, my perspective.
Let's take advantage of that while we have Dave here. John?
Thank you. I really do appreciate you coming and chatting with us about this. I've got some questions regarding to the budget. I think better than no one here, you could help us understand that. So this proposition will set aside a specific budget that I'm assuming is only for, it's not just a specific budget for, but it's an only budget for.
Dedicated funds.
Dedicated fund budget. So if you could, Dave, if you could talk a little bit about the matching grant, or maybe not matching, but the grant funds just a little bit more. And secondly, if you could talk about how that affects the general fund, the slice of pie from the general fund where the road maintenance was coming from what does that collapse to, and how does that then grow when the economy picks back up and we have better taxing revenue?
Right. The grant funding, over the years, we have become dependent on what I call opium, other people's money. Federal and state money came and provided significant amounts of funds for us to be able to maintain our roads. Those have pretty much collapsed and probably won't be back for several generations. The federal funds have their own challenges, and the McCleary decision for basic education will basically remove any additional flexibility from the state for providing much funding to localities. So the grant funding that has been historically available to us is dramatically reduced, but in those places where we can compete, having dedicated funding sources that we can say, yes, we've got funds that are dedicated, help us score better in competition with others. And quite a few other jurisdictions do have dedicated road funding. Pardon me. As to the general fund, the display that I gave you last week showed about $2.5 million going in from the general fund. I hope that won't change. Pardon me. And if it does, you'll see it on the annual accountability reports. And there's an annual report as to what the program status is and what we're doing for this. And if anyone tries to move general fund out of that, that's the old budgeteer's trick. That's one of the reasons we made these reports, very evident annual reports on the funds that were dedicated. Everyone will be able to see this, and I think it'll be closely watched. If there's too much revenue, that would provide the council in the future the ability to do one of the neatest things that I would think I could do, to reduce taxes at some future date if things exceed the need. We don't see that in the foreseeable future, even with the calculations that we've got done for the future and the future growth even that we considered in putting this together.
So I'm understanding that if you took the slice of pie that's in the general fund and just made that dedicated, those are points that would go against you, not necessarily help you for funding purposes, for grant purposes.
You can't dedicate general fund because the next council, the next year, can
undedicate,
reprogram it. That. You can't bind future legislative bodies. So, but the voters certainly can with the ballot measure. That is only what those funds can only be used for what's included in the ballot measure.
So not probability or likability, but mechanically, what's right. The possibility mechanically for rerouting funds in the future should the road funds become flush into the general fund? Is that mechanically possible?
You're talking about the revenue from this ballot measure?
This
no.
ballot measure.
No, it cannot. It is dedicated specifically for the purposes that are contained in the ballot measure.
Right.
It would take a vote of the people to repeal that.
To
the council, with a unanimous vote, could not undo the will of the people in that vote.
Okay.
Well, and I'm a supporter, but I do want to clarify that as it stands now, the general fund does have a proportion that is dedicated to. I mean,
it's programmed to.
Yeah, it's programmed for road maintenance,
right.
And so. Right now you're stressed financially, the revenues are down, but as those revenues inevitably return, then there is no assurance that what previously the proportion that would have gone to the roads is going to be maintained plus the levy, and so the roads are going to be getting the extra funds from the levy. There's nothing that assures that those funds that are now in the general fund that would have gone to the roads, that they might get diverted to some other good cause.
Absolutely. Now, the general fund is a different matter than the levy funds.
Yeah.
The general funds could, in fact, they're fungible.
Right.
It's dollars, and a decision is made each budget cycle to put those in. That's one of the reasons we included an annual report on what monies are being spent and where they're being spent from. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that, and we'll be able to watch that very evidently. It's not going to be buried back on in the middle of a table back on page 600 of the budget.
Is that something that cannot be changed by future councils?
No, that's in the ballot measure.
Yeah.
Those accountability reports are in the ballot measure.
Okay.
However, that doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be changed. We just see it being changed.
Only the will of the people can change that ballot.
But
measure.
No, I mean the general fund part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
They
can change that.
That's exactly
you just
correct.
See it being changed exactly, in the accountability
right.
portion.
Well, and that's assuming people pay attention and understand it.
Right.
Which is a pretty...
And we're trying to keep it very evident, so it's very easy to see.
Yeah. I'm surprised you mentioned the McCleary decision. I thought that strictly affected education.
It does affect education, but it affects the entire general fund of the state of Washington. The resources are going to be sucked from everywhere in the state budget.
The lack of resources. So
exactly.
It's not like they have to have equal treatment of... Okay.
Right. The giant sucking sound is away from everything else
into
education.
Okay.
Yeah.
Giant sucking sound.
There's one other thing while you're here that I think is worth pointing out, and that is that, because I had a concern last time about the levels of service in the annexation areas relative to the pre-existing Kirkland's limits, and in the parks it's quite different. But for roads, I think I read that they actually have better levels of service in the annexation areas than we do here.
Pavement condition in the annexation area is, in fact, better than pre-annexation Kirkland.
Yeah.
However, the sidewalk needs and the safe school walk routes are significantly lower than what they are in the city of Kirkland. So it's a give and take.
Yeah.
And over the long term, it'll all even out. It's one Kirkland.
Right.
Has there been an analysis or discussion all on the sidewalk once?
Not yet. We still haven't finished the full inventory of needs, of what's there, and what is a proposal for a program to address what's not there or what condition it's in. So that will be coming. We haven't had the staff or the time to be able to put that together yet as one unified look.
And I'm thinking that the sidewalks are a completely separate issue from the safe walk zones.
In 90% of the levy revenue will go for pavement condition and general street maintenance. The 10% is broken down into two pieces that will be dedicated, 5% for safe school walk routes and another 5% for general pedestrian improvements, such as crosswalks or other pedestrian improvements, general sidewalks that are not part of the safe school walk route.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions while we have Dave here?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Dave.
Sure.
You said quite a few cities have dedicated funding. Can you give us some examples around here?
I don't have that. I just the discussion that I've had with the Public Works Director is that we didn't score very well because we were looking at other cities getting some funds, and we were saying, why didn't we score very well? And one of the contributors was that we zeroed out on having dedicated funds for our street maintenance, and the other cities did have. I don't have a specifics. So I can ask to have the Public Works folks provide that if you'd like.
What are some of the other fund sources that we're missing out on? Where would that come from? Because we don't have the dedicated.
General grants, both federal and state, of the few that are remaining, and those that are allocated by the Puget Sound Regional Council, are the funding sources that might be available to us where we compete with other jurisdictions for this diminishing and what's become fairly small pot of revenue. But it is. It's available, so you want to be able to compete as robustly as possible. The issue of us being able to get those funds and the issue of us scoring higher would have been much more significant in years past. Now we just need the revenue from this levy to be able to begin to move us back up toward what what's called the least cost curve for pavement condition.
Go ahead, Elsie.
All right, Dave. If you figure all our roads and sidewalks and everything are going to be perfect in 20 years, why didn't you guys decide to put up another bond issue then and let everybody decide to do a bond issue at that time instead of make this go forever and ever and ever and ever?
Well, they won't be perfect. There's a lot of things that we're counting on happening between now and the end of the first 20-year cycle, because at that time you're back to starting to have to go back and maintain those that you started on year one of that 20-year period. The costs probably will not be less than they are now. They'll probably be greater. However, the levy increases at a maximum of 1% per year. So you're going to have other general funds, I think, very significantly added to that, and in fact added to what we're currently spending, just with the inflation over time of the cost to be able to repair the roads.
Well, the intention is that your intent is to maintain the historical dedication of general funds to roads when the funds are become more available, isn't it? Plus the levy, isn't that what the intent is?
Right. And,
in order
and,
to get the roads and
given inflation of what the levy can be inflated at, the very meager amount
right.
that the levy can be inflated at, and the general inflation that's occurring in the construction industry, particularly there's been significant impacts with foreign demands, China
right.
in particular, now competing very significantly for resources that we're trying to source also. I think that the general fund part will have to grow substantially over time just to keep up with inflation,
right.
where the levy will not be able to. But these funds, we took it and looked at it as the best estimate that we could, that given the things that we thought could come about, we could be able to get the pavement condition up so that we would be paying less for maintenance rather than more.
Right. Any other questions?
So just one follow-up. The
sure.
20-year cycle that you talked about, is that an average base? I think the score was we had a 58 average score right now, and at 53 is about...
No, we're about 64 now.
Okay, so...
In 10 years, they expect, if we kept the current funding going, we'd be down to about 56.
Okay.
So this would help turn that around and begin that back up. But it's not sudden. It's not overnight. We didn't want to try to do it overnight because we'd have to hire a bunch of staff to come in just to manage those projects to get it back up. And then, you know, you hire a bunch of folks, then you have to let them go. Boom and bust. So we're trying to do it deliberately over time so that we're able to manage it over time very similarly, and we work our way back up to where we need to be as a city.
Anybody else?
I just want to go way, way out on a crazy sort of limb. We've seen a lot of changes in the last 20 years. 20 years ago, none of us would have imagined cell phones and a whole lot of other stuff, light rail in Seattle. All sorts of things have changed. Let's say in 20 years, all of a sudden, we're all flying around on little electric vehicles attached to wires in the sky or something. I mean, who knows what it's going to be. And we don't need the roads asphalted, or we don't have the oil to do it, or something like that happens.
Right.
Is there any recourse to the citizens of Kirkland to undo this levy that we're putting in perpetuity at this point in time?
No. The best guess is to have council members, particularly if something like that
mm-hmm.
happened and the need was decreased. Elected officials love to cut taxes, and they love to be able to chortle about that they've cut
mm-hmm.
taxes. This would be one of the few areas that might, in that scenario, be one where they could do that.
And as you said already, it wouldn't be able to be dedicated to something else without a vote of the people.
That's
so
correct.
It's secure in that respect.
So
we can't transfer to the
bank that just got bigger and bigger and couldn't be spent
in that situation.
It
would just be money that could not be spent.
It could. Again, the annual accountability report is going to demonstrate that, and I think it becomes it becomes a public embarrassment that you know you want to avoid.
If the fund got really large, like Betsy's talking, could that be rated?
No.
Because the funds are dedicated for that.
Okay.
And the likelihood of us needing less than $3 million a year for maintenance of our streets and pedestrian facilities is, at least in our lifetimes and anyone that's alive, I think is virtually nil. But yeah, take it to the extreme and you look at it.
Thank you, Dave.
You're very
welcome.
Appreciate
you taking the time to come talk to us.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Thanks a lot.
Is there anyone else who cares to speak to the council on anything other than the Kirkland Children's School? Okay.
Can I? Pardon me. You're obviously talking about taxes.
Yes.
And since I live in Seattle, you're obviously aware that I pay attention to what happens locally, especially with the deep bore tunnel.
Yes.
And you'll be glad to know that on February the 9th, 2 years ago, I appeared before the Port of Seattle to protest their donation of $300 million for the Deepwater Tunnel. Now, the Port of Seattle, as you know, is a county-wide taxing agency. And the point I raised with them is, why should somebody on Duval or Snoqualmie be paying taxes to the port for a facility that they will never, ever use? Now, $300 million... if we take a 4.5% bond over 30 years, it's pretty well about $1.4 billion. And you people are worried about $3 million a year? So what I'd like to ask, can you get hold of your council people in the city of Kirkland? You are members of the Suburban Cities Association, and have the Suburban Cities Association representing you and Kirkland and every other city other than Seattle, that's why it's called the Suburban Cities Association, to see what can you do to head off that $300 million. Because as of today, the port doesn't have that money. So with respect to the deepwater tunnel that Seattle wants to build, and by the way, they're looking for another $299 million from Seattle taxpayers to pay for the seawall, and of course I've been protesting that, and you'll read about that in the voters pamphlet. But I would recommend heartily that you get hold of the Suburban Cities Association and your fellow communities to see what can you do to stop the Port of Seattle. Now, with respect to that, please understand, one person did file a complaint to the state auditor, and you can guess who that was. And the answer came back from the port, from the auditor, because I raised the question, what is the $300 million based on? Why wasn't it $20 or $1,000? The auditor came back and said, they've gone through all of the files at the port. They have no idea what it's for. There is no basis for essentially a billion-dollar gift to DOT. So my recommendation is that you address that. And how can you do that? Well, the auditor came back and said, Mr. Brown, there is one state statute. It runs only one line long, and it says, port districts are hereby authorized to participate in road, highway, and street construction, period. No reason why, no amount, no limitation. They don't even have to do a study as to why they're doing it. And to me, when you talk about a modest sum, $300 million, more than I earn in a week, that is something that ought to get your attention. And so since you people are talking about taxes, and recognizing I don't live here, that would be my recommendation for you people to heartily explore, if I may be so bold. Thank you.
We appreciate it. We do need to have your name and address for the record.
The name is Christopher Brown, and the address is 9688 Rainier Avenue South, Seattle 98118. And if you would give me your email address, I can provide you with a lot of information that went back and forth to the port, particularly to Charles Skaggs, who is their communication individual, asking over and over and over again, where did you get this value of $300 million, and for what purpose?
We have a city email system, and you can send this information to not only us, but the Kirkland City Council members, and it will be distributed to each individual member, and you can get it through the city clerk's office, I think, right?
Well, thank you very much. And I'm sorry to take your time.
No. I appreciate it. That was quite enlightening. Okay, so we're now ready to deliberate on Kirkland Children's School. Tony, you're up.
Okay, so now would be the time where you would draft your recommendation to the hearing examiner. I have a template up here I've used for previous projects. And so typically I believe the chair has asked other council members whether or not to approve the project or
yep.
deny, and then kind of work from there on conditions. Mm-hmm. So
that's where we'll go. So we heard a lot of very positive testimony, not a lot of opposition, and even the people who had any concerns were still supportive of the projects. And the staff has recommended certain conditions for this project that are intended to address the concerns. I guess what I, in the interest of time, ask is, does anybody feel like what staff's response or what they're recommending doesn't adequately respond to the concerns that were expressed?
The only thing that was a concern for me were those trees. And, you know, so if maybe that could be recommended, that those big, tall trees that are going to get really large could be...
The Leyland cypress.
Yeah. The cypress. That's it. Otherwise, I've never seen a love fest at a public hearing before.
could I interject
one
thing? So if you look at page 63... Mm-hmm. It actually is a recommendation from their arborist. Mm-hmm. It talks about the Leland cypress and some recommendations for those. And as part of that, the conclusion is that, you know, if this plan doesn't work, the tree should be removed and replaced with a tree species that are appropriate to limited planting area, and gives a list of trees mm-hmm. recommendations. As I explained to Ms. Walden after the hearing, basically the code allows somebody, if it's determined that a tree is a nuisance,
right,
that it's causing damage on somebody else's property, our code allows that removal. So that could be something that they, you know, do outside of the zoning permit and propose one of those trees that he recommends.
So. Okay. You okay with that?
I'm totally happy with that. No, I have no problems with this.
I get the impression that the school is very open to doing whatever, you know, is...
And they've already, obviously, with this in the plan...
Yeah.
They've obviously considered that already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just being brought up by a neighbor so that it's in the record. And
yeah.
I think it's
which is
addressed.
Fine. Yeah. Any other concerns that aren't adequately addressed?
I have to make a comment. I'm for the school, and I will vote for it.
Be sure to speak in. I don't think you're going to be heard the way you're...
I am for the school, there we go, and I will vote for it, but I feel very uncomfortable about the fence being in the public alley, but Rod seems to have assured me that if the city decided to open that alley, they're going to make them move that fence, right?
That is correct, and I have... Just to add, I did speak with some of the neighbors that were asking about opening that, and if the neighbors wanted to, amongst themselves, get a permit to engineer that and open that up with their own funding, they could do so. So at any time if they wanted to open the alley and fund that, they could.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I have a question about that. How common is it to have an alley where there's properties that have put fences into the alleyway?
As I mentioned earlier, we have hundreds of alleys throughout Kirkland that are unopened, and I would say 95% of those, the adjacent properties have taken about half the alley and made it part of their yard area.
So if any of the other neighbors in that particular alley from 53rd to 55th wanted to take up part of the alley to put a fence and put a playground or whatever for their backyard, they can do that, and the city has no issue with that?
That's correct.
Until the city decides to open up that alleyway officially.
That's correct. No structures, though. They can't put a structure there. But, you know, a playground, a swing set, those types of things that can be moved.
But a fence. Fence
vegetable garden.
Vegetable gardens.
No, but they couldn't put a fence in the alley, can they?
Yeah, they can.
I'm sorry, obviously they do put a fence. Never mind, they did, yeah. Foolish. But not a building.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let me ask him something.
Yeah, sorry.
Rob, I walked from 55th down the alley, past the school's fence. There's a fence across this way, and from what I could see, if the city wanted to open up an alley, they were going to have to go through a garage.
I haven't looked at that.
When you go around on 53rd, that's where I tried to get in there first, there's absolutely no way you can even see that alley or get at it. So I would say sometime when you're out walking around, you might find out that there is a garage there at the end of that alley.
That's not an issue of concern. So, any other concerns that are not being adequately addressed by the recommendations by the staff? John?
I have a couple of comments that I would like to see. First of all, in the alley use, I have been part of many projects that have the exact condition Mr. Jammerman has mentioned. I understand this issue very, very well. I happen to be on the side of the fence that I like alleys. I think alleys are nice in the community, but I absolutely understand that if they're not open and people want to put their fence down the middle of them, that's appropriate as well. What I have a difficult time with is that although an alley is not an open right-of-way now, there's been an expressed desire by a neighbor that it be opened. One of the people that testified today for the school says, in fact, he lives on the alley and enjoys its access. So we do know that the alley is used. It is not a through alley, and where it's not a through alley, it is desirous that it is a through alley. So I would like to propose that part of the recommendations be that while the fence is allowed to be through the middle of the right-of-way of the alley, no further improvements or plantings happen within that portion of the right-of-way, which would make the civil portion of the action more difficult. To get an alley open, to work with your neighbors, becomes more litigious and much more difficult, even in discussions, more swing sets, more vegetable gardens, and certainly more trees are planted within that portion of right-of-way. So to prevent this issue from happening, I believe that a recommendation on our part would be not to improve this with plantings, that portion of the right-of-way with plantings that would make it more difficult to open up for the right-of-way.
They haven't proposed that, have they?
They haven't proposed that. I'm specifically saying...
And it would be even allowed if they wanted to.
That it'd have to be on the other side of the fence that they've got that's 6 foot high. Yeah.
So from the property line to the center of the right-of-way where the fence is located, I believe is... There wasn't a dimension on it.
Somebody said
no. About 8 feet, maybe?
9 feet, yeah.
9 feet?
9 feet.
That's a pretty significant area, I think, that could get full of plantings and make it very, very difficult in the future to open up that right-of-way, because it would be very destructive if mature plants are grown within that 9 feet of right-of-way to be taken away.
I see what you're saying.
So that's the first issue. I'm just going to rifle through all my issues right away. Second, the Leland cypresses, there has been discussion during the testimony that the school is okay with working with the neighbor. I think that should be memorialized to writing, so it's remembered by all parties. Nothing personal, just been involved in a lot of neighborhood disputes, and I think it would be helpful. The third item that I have is the buffer trees. The staff report and the code states standards for the tree, sizes and caliper standards for the trees to go in buffer. It does not state species or subspecies of tree. I do believe through testimony all the neighbors are willing to work with each other. And I'm really hoping, I don't know if anything can be in the report about that, but oftentimes to plant a particular tree that drops, like a hedgerow tree that drops a really spinely bad needle might be a bad thing for whatever, but I think that's the other. The garbage was not addressed at all in the report that was brought up. I need to ask you about that, Tony. And then the last thing on light, I'm very sensitive about the light, and I very definitely understand that. I think safety is utmost concern at a school. While nobody wants lights on all the time, I think having lights on to protect the property and to protect especially the children is extremely important. The report talks about a plan that needs to be submitted as part of the submittal process. I'm sure that'll be met. From my standpoint, more of the dark sky standards, the lights pointing down instead of up, might address some of the issues with the neighbors from a light pollution standpoint. That's very easy to do in today's world. I'm sure the architect knows all about that stuff. So from my standpoint, I keep referring to dark sky because there's specific standards to that. Something that Kirkland really hasn't embraced. But I think if the neighbors have brought it up through testimony, that possibly that's something that could be discussed. That is the end of my list.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other concerns? John, do you want to craft a motion that would add recommendations on the points that you think need to be actually in the form of a recommendation?
Is there any discussion, comment, disagreement with my thoughts?
I like your idea of not having anything planted within that 9 foot, you know, from the fence here, the 9 feet that they've got extra. I think that's good.
I think it's overregulating, and the city's not going to be able to monitor it anyway. I mean, they don't have the resources to be checking on all these things as a practical matter. And if this and to restrict them from using that property, even though they don't own it, but if it's used by on all the 100 other places around the city, why should we, if we're not restricting it in all these other places, why put a restriction on this place? I don't see it.
And there's nothing to stop one of the other neighbors to start using theirs.
There isn't. And in fact, it's actually something that I don't see any reason to try to discourage it. Why not make use of the land until there's a public need for it? I get the impression that this neighbor is just, I don't get it. He's up north. He doesn't need access to the south. His alley access is north to 55th. I really don't get it. So I don't see it as an issue personally.
I don't either.
I just want to say, as much as I concur with John and the idea of dark skies and all that sort of thing, I don't think it's our place to be imposing that kind of more stringent than already exist regulations. And I think the children's school seems to have demonstrated all the way through this their willingness to work with the neighbors, to do things in compliance with what the neighbors wish, to protect the neighbors' property values and their rights to use their property, and that they're going to work with the neighbors. I mean, I just really, like it's been said, I haven't seen a love fest like this at a hearing in my tenure. So for us to say we're going to impose something more stringent than already exists on a property owner who's already going sort of above and beyond to try to appease local wishes,
yeah.
I don't see a need for us to do that.
I agree.
My only concern is, have you seen instances where there was good intentions, but the city's codes didn't adequately address those concerns in the actual, you know, when they actually got built out? Is that where you're coming from?
No, not from the standpoint of good intentions, just from the standpoint of how civil actions happen, unfortunately, between neighbors.
Mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, there's city code that stipulates that lights from one person's property cannot extend into adjacent properties. I know for a fact that all of my neighbors' lights
extend into your
light into my yard. And, you know, we try to work things out with the neighbors. So I think in a project of this size, with their concerns about nature and the getting along with the neighbors, that the likelihood of them complying with city code that does exist is very great. And if it doesn't, the neighbors have recourse to deal with it.
Do you agree with that, John?
See that we need to impose anything.
I'm okay with it. So I'm hearing you three say everything that I've talked about is thanks, no thanks.
Yeah.
Yes?
I think they're good points. I don't know whether they rise to the level of having to make, to actually make it a condition.
Yeah.
And what we're talking about is these are conditions to the approval of this.
I'm 100% with you.
I agree with everything you said. It's just I don't think they necessitate a condition.
This is a party that has proven itself over the years to be very good neighbors, to listen. I mean, they did have a much bigger building planned that they wanted a couple years ago, and quite frankly, they came to the Neighborhood Association and they said, we're not going to go for something that tall. Neighbors aren't going to go for something that tall. And they went back and they reworked it. I mean, they really do listen. They don't just say, well, too bad, I'm going to, this is what we have to have, or we'll leave Houghton like all the other developers say, right?
You're going to have a bunch of mega mansions here.
That's right. We'll
Okay, let's move on with this. So I guess
fine.
Okay with it, John.
Quickly, while you all are here, this is nothing personal at all. It's just through observations and at all. I live up the hill from you. I've observed your school for years. I hear nothing but wonderful things. So congratulations on that, seriously.
Yep.
So
my two oldest boys went there for kindergarten.
Okay, all right. Enough of the love fest. Enough of the love fest. Let's get a motion on the floor and move on with it.
I would like to move that we... I'm sorry. What? Can I go?
Yes, okay, you have the floor.
Okay, I would like to move that we approve... what's it called? Do I use the file number? Or what?
You can...
just use the file number.
File zone 1200659.
That's it.
Recommending approval blah blah whatever it is.
You can just say a move that we concur with the staff analysis and recommendation of approval.
Right. That's what I say.
As written.
That's what I'm saying. As written.
Yeah.
Second.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Congratulations. Now, Cap, just so you know, I mean, this is our recommendation, but we are recommending to the hearing examiner. The hearing examiner will actually be the one who...
Wait till Sue does her report.
Yeah.
But she usually...
We're mean.
She usually goes along with what we say, just for the record. So. Okay, we've got another item.
Tony, that was very nicely done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done,
very,
guys.
Everyone did their homework really well.
Thank you, Rod.
All right, we have upcoming comp plan amendments. Jeremy.
No, yeah, I'm here for Jeremy.
Oh, pinch hitting for Jeremy. Nancy.
So the question is tonight, you might remember at your last meeting, I guess Paul made a presentation about this item. And the question is whether you would like to hold a separate study session about this or go straight to public hearing with the Planning Commission on November 8th. And
are you on mic, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
didn't sound like you were on. Yeah, okay. I couldn't hear you.
So that's the question. Do you want to have a study session on this, and it would be October 29th if you do? At this time, there's nothing else for that agenda. That was a meeting where it had been scheduled to talk about the Houghton Everest Business District.
Mm-hmm. So. What's the will of the council here? Do you guys think that we can adequately address this in the hearing format and then discussing it after the hearing? Or do we want to have a special study session on this alone?
Isn't there just one thing here?
Yeah.
the Super 24 store on Lake Washington Boulevard, isn't that the only thing that concerns us?
Yes.
Pretty much.
I think, guys, we can do it after the hearing.
It seems like we can probably take care of it in one meeting and not make it in.
I would sure hope so. But I just want to at least respond to it.
We
so
got to be careful.
So we're good with that?
Yes.
John, anything? Okay. Excellent. So with that, we wouldn't be having our regularly scheduled meeting?
Correct.
Okay.
So that, yeah, we'll be talking about the calendar before we leave.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have a question. Nancy? Now, this is the owner of that Super 24 store. Has he been notified that this is possibly going to change?
I'll confirm on that. Confirm that for you. I don't know myself, but
I would think that he should be notified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sure should have been notified, you would think.
I would think.
Doesn't mean it always gets
done. Okay, so we'll have the
we'll be sure
public hearing, and you make sure that he's fully aware of it and participating. Okay, so with that, we move on to Prop 1, Levy for City Street Maintenance and Pedestrian Safety. Dave gave us a lot of information. We got an opportunity to ask questions. So we have an opportunity to either endorse or not endorse, or take no position. We either, you know, vote for, vote against, or take no position. Any thoughts? Bill, you look like you've got something to say.
I'd like us to take no position.
That would be your preference?
Okay. I didn't hear what you said.
You said no position.
Bill would rather not take a position on this levy.
Me too.
Okay, that's Elsie. Other thoughts, Laura?
Why are you pinpointing me?
Well, you were pretty vocal about our lack of position on the parks levy.
No, I was pretty vocal about our. I thought we should have taken a position on the parks levy.
I know, that's why. It's the same thing.
And I feel similarly, not quite as passionately, but similarly passionately. I mean, streets are important, sidewalks are important, school safety is important. Parks are really important. All of it's really important. And you know what I felt about the parks, and I'm kind of on the same page with this one.
Yeah.
I agree with everything she just said, but I don't think a perpetual tax is the solution here. That's why I couldn't support it. You know?
That's the only negative aspect to it, I would say. But Betsy, any thoughts?
You know, I think the council should be pro improving Kirkland and moving toward making it a better city and maintaining the city that it has. I mean, we've broken wheels in Seattle in potholes and had to have the city of Seattle pay us to get our wheels fixed in our car. We were over there last night, and it was just like it was hurting David's back. He just had back surgery, and just driving Seattle streets was just like he was going, it's just so hard, you know. It's painful to drive over here. Kirkland is just, you know. And so I know it's money, and I know it's not fun, and I don't like to pay all this money either. My property taxes are very high, but I really think that the standard of living that we live in has to be paid for, and so I think I would like the Houghton Community Council to endorse these things, but if they can't, then I would say no position, certainly not against it.
Yeah.
So. We're not saying no.
I mean, 10 years ago we had the Parks Bond, and Hugh Gibbons was the chair, and those of us who were on the council went out and doorbelled for the proposition because Hugh was so adamant, and we all agreed with it, and it was, you know, I did that.
Yeah.
But I can't do it for this one, and that's my personal opinion. And
well, there was an ending on that one.
Right.
I mean, bottom line, Houghton Community Council's position on this isn't going to make any weight in the pond for people voting this November on this proposition.
I think Dave wouldn't be seeking it unless he thought that this is going to be close enough that it might be one of those elections that are decided by a very small number of votes, and so it I don't think he'd bother if he didn't think it might make a difference. John, any thoughts?
I agree with everything Laura said, and the issue for me is what Bill said. It's the perpetual nature of this, and it just absolutely pains me that me personally on this council cannot support better roads, better parks that I feel strongly on for one little thing that just fundamentally for me personally I just can't budge on.
Yep. I guess I just want to say one more thing about that in particular is that I do trust that the people of Kirkland and the city council, if there comes a time when this tax really isn't needed or can't be supported, that there will be a rising up of responsible people to get some way to do away with it. But to make sure that it's there so that projects can be planned and put into place and that there's some, you know, reliable expectation of completing those projects and not, I mean, things like, I mean, the 520 bridge, I mean, you can think of all sorts of things that have come and gone and come and gone because something goes forward and then it's taken back. And something goes forward and it's taken back. And to know that we don't have to vote every 2 or 3 years for something that's going to take a long period of time to really get us back up to speed, that's my reason for saying that I think we need to support it even as it's written, because I think they've done some really good jobs of protecting that money and making sure that it can't be siphoned off for something else, that it will be dedicated to this, and if the need ceases to be there, that there will be ways to get rid of the tax. And as Betsy pointed out, you know, I mean, if I'm going someplace and I'm hurting my back going there, I'm not going to go there anymore. If Kirkland wants people to come here and to spend their money here and to move here and to pay taxes here, the best way to do it is to show that we are a responsible city, that we have plans in place and the resources to take care of projects that keep us the wonderful city that we are.
I hear. And also, I think that you're looking at this, you know, if you look at inflation, I mean, this is 1% of inflation. If you let this thing die in 10 years, then they have to do it again. It's probably going to cost a lot more. Mm-hmm. For, you know, and so, I mean, it's almost like locking in a low interest rate a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. It's sort of, yeah.
It's
looking at the future. Even if all the money further down the line, there's a lot more money in there that's not necessary to have that tax, the residents of this town will be so used to seeing automatically on their taxes, they aren't going to do anything about it. They're not even going to think about it.
But I think Dave's right. I think a city is going to look at it, whoever is in charge, and they're going to say, okay, we've got this big thing.
Yeah.
We have to spend it only on these roads. It's not costing that much for the roads anymore. We've done such a great job, or people aren't using roads anymore. Everybody's flying. So we're going to give you all a tax break, and we're going to be
ticket
re-elected.
Election. Exactly.
That's right. I'm going to be re-elected.
That happens all the time.
Let me take a stab at this, because I'm every bit as fiscally conservative as anybody on this council. I guarantee it. I really am. I think we should support. I think we should vote to support this thing. And the reason I think that is that I think that the need is perpetual. It's not going to they are so far underfunded, and it's not going to change. The underfunding is going to continue for probably perpetuity. That's a very realistic assessment, and it's only going to cost us more. It's pay me now or pay me later. If you don't take care of the road maintenance, it's going to be more expensive in the future, and the city is strapped. You know, they're trying to be responsible about, okay, how are we going to fund this? It's the right thing to do. We need to provide the funding, and we don't have the funding sources. That we just don't have it. So this is a logical way to go about it. And if you look at if you guys remember, I'm trying to picture where this was, but I think it was at the All City Dinner where they showed that graph and they showed the quadrants of things that are important to the citizens. You remember that, John? That, you know, what's important and where they're spending the money. And this was one of the things that the city was most out of balance on, was the street maintenance.
And it showed how much more it would cost if this doesn't go through.
Well, and so, you know, they're saying 82% in of this little blurb over here in the corner, they're saying 82% on the survey, 82% of the citizens said that it was extremely important or important to be maintaining the streets, and yet they're ranking our performance out of 15 services that the city's providing, they're ranking this 13th. This is the biggest disconnect in that whole graph on, and that's what the point that was made at that All City Dinner was, this is where they're just out of whack, and that's why they need this levy. And I hate the idea of a perpetual levy, but I don't think that this is going to, I don't think the funding is going to be misused, because there's going to be an inevitable perpetual need for it.
Plus, like they said, we've been using other people's money, so it's like you get taxed. Either you pay it through taxes to the federal government, or something else, or you pay it to your city, because grant money comes from.
Well, the cities are all in a bind anyway, because they're losing their funding from the feds and from the state. Everybody's in a pinch, and so it's now we've got to step up on the local level and pay if you want to continue maintaining the level of service that you've enjoyed.
Rick, with that scenario that you're running, isn't accounting for is that when the economy comes back, property values start going up again, the general fund's going to be flush.
I don't think it's going to be flush. I think that is the biggest concern I have with it, is that monies that, when they have more monies, that it gets drained off into some other good cause. That's the one thing I'm concerned about. And human nature is, you know, there's no lack of good causes that you want to spend money on.
I think the propensity to spend money on good causes is higher than the propensity to reduce taxes.
But, so
what's wrong with living in a city that funds lots of good causes?
But you know what? We think about those good causes, and you guys, I think the reality is, even when we are generating more revenues, I don't think that there's going to be so much money that it's going to be significant that they can be throwing it off into other less worthwhile things. I really think that the streets need us, but that's my pitch. This is one that I could do.
Let's vote and get it over with.
Yeah, yes. Well.
By my count, we're 3-3.
That's, so. Yeah, unless I change anybody's mind, I think we're stalemated, but is there any motion?
I move that we vote to a.
We endorse the.
Approve. Where's the thing? I'm sorry that we.
We would just endorse.
Endorse Proposition 1.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye, that works. Okay, so we. And everybody respects each other. We all want the same thing. So there's no hard feelings, but can't do it this time. So
what are you going to put down?
I would like...
The nays were LT, John, and Bill. Yeah.
So should we...
We're not taking a position.
Yeah, can we... Well... Do we need to move that we're not taking a position as opposed to let it drop?
Okay. Yep.
Three and three is it.
Yep. So it's time to get your calendars out, huh?
Just want to confirm that your next meeting.
Here comes the Dave to find out.
Will be November 8th, the Planning Commission.
Next meeting, November 8th, Planning Commission.
Joint hearing with the Planning Commission.
Okay.
At 7, right?
7 o'clock. And then looking forward to, and at this time we don't have anything for November 26th, but I would say keep that on your calendar and we'll cancel it officially if nothing comes up.
When did we set that? Or did, is that the? I think I said that I'm not going to be here November 8th. If we.
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving weekend.
No, it's not November 8th. But I'm going to be out of town.
I mean the 8th.
I have an industry conference that I go to. That I think I'd said
that. I think you already said that.
Yeah, that I can't be here for that. So you're running. You're representing us, John, on that one.
Okay. And
meeting.
So then, looking forward to December. Your normal meeting date would be Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing
chance.
So
ain't gonna happen.
We're looking back at December 17th as a potential date, and Kirkland Children's School will be back in front of you for final action.
Okay.
So
it's not gonna be a biggie.
Is everyone available on December 17th?
Yes.
Yeah.
I penciled it in as a meeting date. Yeah.
Good. Okay. So I think November 8th and December 17th. But keep the 26th of November, your regular meeting, on your calendar just in case.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy. And with that, meeting adjourned. Okay.
What?
Dave, I think Dave came back and missed our discussion.
Oh, crap.
John, let me know if you're going to go down next Thursday.
Oh, I'll be going down. Next. It's next week. Yeah, I will get everybody to report back. I just.
I can probably go down with you.
You're what?
Oh, thank you.